This morning, we're going to talk about the next dimension anointing. It's our second lesson. So we got a foundation on the biblical, you know, understanding of the anointing. And today we're going to talk about different dimensions. And we're pulling our text from Exodus, and it's going to be 20th chapter, verse 18. Exodus 20 and verse 18. All the people, somebody shout, all the people. Now all the people witnessed the thunder. That's important. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the text, and then I'm going to preach, and I'm going to let you go home, come back tonight. All the people witnessed the thunder. They heard the thunder. They saw the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet. A lot of things going on Mount Sinai, on the mountain. The mountain is smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Next slide. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, please, Moses, and we will hear you. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." Stop right there. You can go there. You're okay. I just want to stop right there and say, the people literally said, "Don't talk to us, God." Okay, they loved God. You understand? They loved God, but they were afraid of God's manifestation. They didn't know what to do with all the lightning and the thundering and the smoke. And it was out of their comfort zone. They weren't comfortable with God's presence. And so they said, "Man, hey, Moses, you're our representative. You go, man, you go. Just don't let God talk to us, lest we die." That's pretty big. Next slide, please. And then Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you." I want to stop right there, because fear can be synonymous with respect. Have you heard of the fear of God? You can synonymous, the fear of God and the love of God are synonymous. You love God, therefore you reverence God. You fear God. It's not the word fear, like I'm afraid of God. I mean, no, God is not to be one who we should be afraid of. Satan would put fear in your heart to be afraid of coming into God's presence. But God's saying, "Come on, I have something for you. I want to teach you. I want to test you. And I want you to fear me." So that you may not sin. See, I don't know that there's a fear of God in America. The reverential, godly respect. I know that because there's no respect or fear for parents. No respect for law and authority. No respect for leadership. Everybody wants what they want. They want no one to tell them what to do. There's no fear of God. And therefore, you have people who are going absolutely bananas in the streets. There's no law. It's called anarchy. You don't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want to do. I'll take everything into my own hands. And there's consequences. How many know, if we don't get a revival of the fear of God in America, we're going to have some issues. I said, we need the fear of God to come back to the house of God. Starts in the house of the Lord. Respect the house of the Lord. Don't make me go there. How many know you ought to respect the house of God and the things of God? When we build this building, it's not to be built for you to go tear it up. It's to be respected just like this house. We don't treat the house of God like a coffee shop. Don't make me preach. Bring pastor back. Get behind the pulpit. Stay straight, buddy. Keep going. This is not a playground. This is the holy house of God. So that you may not sin. So that the people stood afar off. But Moses, look at the difference in the contrast. The people stood afar off because sin brings separation. Right? Death is not the cessation of life. Death is separation. So sin separates. They stood far off. But Moses, he drew near the thick darkness where God was. Hey, Oak Grove, I don't know where you want to be, but I want to be smack dab in the middle of wherever God is. Whatever God is doing, wherever God is, wherever his glory is, I'm going in. I want to be where God is. I want God to bring a revival to America. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings if he started right here. Next slide, if you don't mind. That's it. Thank you, Aaron. That's it. He's saying, forget it, Pastor. Close in prayer and go home. I'm telling you, I didn't have too many verses because I just wanted you to see this scene on Mount Sinai as God is about to give the word of God to the Israelites, the plan of God, the preservation of God, right? God is about to teach his people how to become his people. These are laws. These laws must be obeyed. These commands must be put into practice to keep you separate from the world. So if you obey these laws, blessings will come to you as a people. If you disobey the words of this book, cursings will come to these people. It's pretty simple. I said it's pretty simple. Obey the word of the Lord and be blessed. Walk in his anointing, walk in the spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, basically. And so here, last week, we said that 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One. You are anointed of God. And as you abide in him and his word abides in you, his Holy Spirit enables, empowers you to do what could never be done. The church can do what it's never been able to do. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. God can speak through you. You can say what never would have been able to say through the Holy Spirit. He'll speak. I said, he's the speaking God. He wants to use you. He wants you to be conduit for him to flow through. He don't want to do this on his own. He wants to partner with us, enable us, and he'll allow us to do things we've never seen before. And we said last week, know what your weaknesses are and lean on his strength. Remember the Samson syndrome last week. He allowed his flesh to disqualify him from his anointing. And Saul allowed his pride to disqualify his anointing as king. Samson as leader, judge. And I'd rather have God's approval, remember, to be over my life than his anointing. I mean, I want to be accepted in the beloved. And that's the first level. And I want to talk about dimensions here. But the first level is just coming into Christ. How many know if you get in with him, you're on the right track? If you open your heart to Jesus this morning, listen, if you have run away from God, if you've not served the Lord, or if you've been running from God, or if you've never known the Lord, how many know he has sent his only son, Jesus, to bridge the gap? Come on, how many glad Jesus' name is Jesus? Come on, he's there to redeem us, to cover us, to help us, to heal us, to save us. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the anointed one. The anointed one, the high priest of heaven is on earth. Jesus. I thought I'd preach about Jesus for a minute. Because Samson forgot he was anointed. He forgot. And God wants to anoint us to serve him. David said, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. And I said last week, you can't engage in inappropriate fleshly activity and walk in the anointing at the same time. Two deities cannot occupy one throne. Amen? It's either God or you. And he will not let your flesh glory in his presence. Not going to happen. Now, your flesh can get in his presence and be anointed. But it's the anointing that makes the difference. Can somebody say amen to that? It's not the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh profit nothing. The flesh will excite people. The flesh will impress people. But it'll never change anybody's life. And there's a whole lot of celebrity things going on, elevating preachers and celebrities, and they're exciting people and impressing people. But how many know if you don't have the touch of God, the Holy Spirit anointing on your life, you will have no effectiveness. You might be able to even draw crowds, but no change, no disciples. So more people are being emotionally driven to church, but they have no power to see anything accomplished in the kingdom because it takes more than a goosebump or two. I hear you. I hear you. And so I think I hear you. I said, I ought to hear you. No power. So flesh can't set people free or bring fruit or transformation or change. But Jesus can. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit who gives life. And it's the flesh profits you nothing. The word that I speak, Jesus said, is spirit and it is life. His words are powerful. Amen. It's the word of God. He is the living word, and this is the written word. If you obey Jesus, it can create life. It can sustain life. It can do miraculous things. Supernatural things can happen if you walk in the anointing. So I want us to take a look at Moses and this God's glorious presence on the mountain here. A lot of things are happening, lightning, thunder, smoke, all kinds of stuff is happening on the mountain. And I guess it somewhat can be intimidating. And it got them out of their comfort zone. Trumpets sounded. Wow. Shaking mountain. Smoking mountain. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off, or a great way off. They were not close. And then they said, Moses, you speak on our behalf. And I want to submit to you today that there are people in the kingdom who are great far off, a ways away. And I don't want to condemn. I don't want to bring guilt or trip anybody up. I just want to tell you that there are dimensions. There are levels. In other words, you can come into God wherever you are today. How many know you can go a little further tomorrow? There's nobody here to kick you around and tell you you're not this or you're not that. I'm here to lift you up and tell you there is more. Come on, church. There's more of God than you already have. And there's another level. There's another dimension. There's another place in God that you can go to because you have not yet arrived. And I think the church maybe in America has gotten settled. Maybe they had revival in the past and they're happy and content to live on the state of level wherever they are, the dimension they are in the spirit. This is good enough. I'm comfortable here. Can I tell you, God's not concerned about your comfort. He's worried about the level of your conviction and your commitment and your commission. So I want to submit that there are levels of anointing and God is available to us, all of God, to all of us, meaning there is potential. Somebody shout potential. There is potential for you to walk in his fullness, to walk in his anointing. To be anointed means to surrender to his will in your life, to totally give up and walk and live for his glory. The question is, how will you respond to his presence? And so there are three groups of people here in Exodus who responded to God's glorious presence on the mountain. And I want to look at each one of them. First one, I call the salvation anointing. It's like the entry level. When John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, here he comes, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And his anointing as the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, is greater than mine. I mean, no, there's nobody greater than Jesus. And he said, hey, I baptized you with water and unto repentance. So this is the entrance. This is the entrance. But here's coming one who's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. There's another dimension. There's another level of anointing. There's something more, and you're just getting in. How many know? I'm glad if you're in. If you got in, somebody ought to shout and say, I'm glad I'm in. If you're not yet in the kingdom, this is an anointing available for you to draw near to God. Amen? Respond to his presence. And so the Spirit comes to quicken you, make you alive, to illuminate God's word in you, to help you move to another dimension in the Lord. Remember, these are Israelites. They were God's people. And God is here on the mountain with them. He wants to engage in them. He wants to enlighten them. He wants to bless them. He wants to give him his commands, his plan for the ages. He wants to use them to make a people that he can put his name on their heart. God wants a relationship with Israel, and they're afraid of him. They allowed fear from the enemy to separate them from the very glorious God that wants to be with them. Isn't that just like Satan? John 10:10 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life, anointing. I came to bless you. I want you to get in with me. He wants to engage them. He wants to speak to them. He wants to be with them. But they responded to God's presence in a way that stunted their progress. Two things happened. They were scared, or they were satisfied to let Moses do the talking. They had a representative. Can I tell you, if you were raised in church and your mom and dad loved the Lord, or your grandma and grandpa, and you came into the kingdom on their skirts, are you hearing what I'm saying? If all you have is a touch of God enough that grandma and grandpa had or mom and daddy had, I mean, you need to let go of them and get a whole relationship by Jesus all by yourself. There's more. Thank God for heritage and legacy and passing on that. But you got to get a hold of Jesus all by yourself. Remember what Abraham, he dug wells. The enemy dug, you know, buried all the wells that Abraham dug, and Isaac had to go redig the wells. I mean, we got to get some digging. I said the church is the people of God, but they might need to go back and redig a few wells to take what the enemy has done and undo it and have life and drinking water again in the Lord. Amen? You don't need a representative. You can go to God by yourself. I have a family who's deeply involved in the fact that they have to go through this person or this saint or that to get to Jesus. How many know you don't have to go through anybody to get to Jesus? All you have to do to get to God is go through Jesus himself. You don't have to come to Pastor Ron or anybody who's gone on before you. I thank God for the saints of God, but how many know Jesus is the mediator? He's the anointed one, not me. And I came to tell you that God is faithful to complete what he started in you. He started a good work and he began it in you. Don't let the enemy stop you. Holiness and sanctification or your righteous walk with God, whatever you want to call it, it's the beginning of the anointing. It's the first dimension, salvation anointing. Are y'all getting this? I'm saying to you today, if you've never been born again, get born again today. Come to Jesus. How many know today's a good day to give Jesus your heart? Today is the day of salvation. And that's the first entry level. The carnal mind can't even comprehend the things of God unless you come in by the Spirit. When Jesus was with John in John chapter 20, he breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit after the resurrection. After the resurrection. Are you understanding? He paid the price for salvation with his own blood. And that was their salvation. He breathed on them, first dimension. And they received the Holy Spirit. But just a couple of chapters later, is this a Pentecostal church? Just a couple of chapters later, the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind. And there was a whole nother level of anointing for the kingdom work. Empowerment, Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me. To me. Okay? It's all about Jesus. It's not about me and you. Right? Are you hearing that? And so holiness and sanctification is the beginning. Don't remain satisfied with where you are in God. Keep moving. There is more. And this group of frightened believers heard the thunder, saw the lightning, heard the same trumpet, saw the smoke as they experienced God's presence firsthand. But they were satisfied with a secondhand relationship. Hey, Moses, you talk to God for us. You do the dirty work. You do the hard work. You do the labor. Can I tell you, there's another dimension in the Spirit, but you have to pray the price. You have to pray the price. You're going to go to another level. You're going to face another devil. And it just you don't find gold on the top of the grass at your house and you're cutting the grass. Oh, look, a lump of gold. I mean, you got to dig and you're going to go to another level. You got to seek a little bit more diligently. He's a God that wants us to seek him diligently, intentionally, seeking the face of God and going in for more. But they decided to back away. And what happens is they had desire, but they allowed fear to keep them from his presence and they stood afar off. And I want to ask you this morning before we move along, are you part of this group that want to know God, but you choose to stand far away and let somebody else tell you what they desire for you? I remember when we first got born again, and Melissa and I were so excited, felt the call of God. Everybody wanted to give us a word. Remember that day in the charismatic renewal, early 80s, everybody had a word for you? And I would say, hey, thank you for the word, but I think God has my email address. We didn't even have email back then. I had to say, God has my mailing address and my dial-up rotary phone number. I mean, God knows how to communicate to you. You have an anointing. You can talk straight to God. God knows your number. You don't have to go around from revival to revival looking for a word from somebody else. God can speak to you. You have to open your ears. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit who wants to talk to you. You can't remain far away. If you remain far away, there's no intimacy there. Don't remain satisfied with where you are. Keep moving. don't be a part of this group. Truth is, there are people who need to hear truth. People in the kingdom must get close enough to hear God so we can tell this world the truth. And there are those who are standing far away. And today we need to hear this challenge. Get in and get in now. Get as close to Jesus as you can. And it's not judgment, no condemnation here. How many know Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Nobody's here to condemn you. I'm here to cheer you on. Hey, you got in. Let's keep going. Remember what Paul said to the Galatian church? Hey, who bewitched you? You did run well in the beginning. Why aren't you running anymore? What happened to you? That means you can move forward in God. It also means you can back away from God. And I'm here to tell you that if you want a deeper anointing, there is another dimension. There's another level, and you don't have to stay afraid or out of your comfort zone or scared because you don't understand what's happening. I don't care. I don't care. If you're here without God, you need to get in. If you're unreached, you need to hear God's word. If you're unchurched, you need to hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And listen to this one. If you're churched, you need to hear the word of the Lord. There's a lot of people sitting in church week after week, satisfied with where they are. And they have a lid on their life. They are not. How many know it's time for the Holy Spirit to remove the lid over your life so the heavens are not brass, so God can speak to you and you can speak to God? Don't run away from God. Run to God. You can talk to the prodigal son who ran away from the father's house. I'm challenging you today to run to the Lord. Until everybody hears and comes into Christ, our work is not complete. God's not willing that any should perish. So let's get in his presence. Let's be God's spokesperson. Boy, we just lost a good one this week. God's spokesperson. Anointed to see and say and serve. The challenge to all on this first dimension. How will they hear if we don't step up and step in and speak up for Jesus? Tell them the truth. The command is clear. Go make disciples of all nations. And it takes an anointing of the Holy Spirit to lead people into salvation. I've got a hit list. I don't know if you have a hit list, but I challenge you today to get a hit list. Now, don't go out there and start killing people. Not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual hit list. I'm talking about people you know that are not born again that need to be born again. Family, friends, coworkers. And I got their name on a little bitty pad in my pocket. And I'm after them. And I'm wearing them down like Steve Urkel. And some of them are close. Some of them are so close. And I'm gonna be there. Y'all remember the story I told you about the Pepsi man when I first got saved? I worked for Frito-Lay. It's a funny story. If you never heard it, I'll tell you real quickly. I witnessed for a year to the Pepsi, to the man that owns a snowball stand in my hometown. And every day I would witness and witness and witness. And an African-American man, bald, his wife Treasure Banks, his name was Roy Banks. She had a gold tooth star on her tooth. And I witnessed every day, every day, every day for a year. One day I pull up in my Frito-Lay truck and Roy runs to the truck and said, "Hey, Brother Ron, I gave my heart to Jesus today." I said, "You did?" He said, "As soon as you left yesterday, the Pepsi man came and led me to Jesus." I said, "Roy, I'm not excited right now, but I should be." Paul said, "Some plant and some water, but how many know God can give the increase?" May that you develop an anointing on your life to be bold and witness. Share your faith. Somebody's life is in the balance. It might be the last chance you have to talk to them. Divine appointments are all over the place. You need to walk into it. Don't be afraid of it. God will anoint you. How many believe God can anoint you? Well, Roy asked me where he can go to church. He ended up at my church. He and Treasure, they sang in the choir. And my home church was mostly Anglo. And my pastor said, "Before you go to Bible school, you better replace your family with another family." So the day I left, I said, "Pastor, not only did I replace my family with another family, I put some color in this pale bunch of people." God wants to reach people for Jesus. He wants to reach people, all people for Jesus. But you got to be willing. You can't be satisfied. You got to get in his presence. I said, you got to get in his presence. Who will represent the Lord to a lost world? Satisfied church? Who will declare, thus says the Lord? Is it you? If it's you, you can't be scared and satisfied to go to another dimension. Clearly, we must get closer to hear his voice. He will appoint you and he will anoint you to speak on his behalf. The second group, and I got to hurry. The second group was the supporting servants, the 70 elders. They're found in Exodus 24:9, and they had a servant anointing. In other words, God allowed them to go a little higher up the mountain with Moses. And when you get to this next level, how many know it's a service anointing? It's a servant's anointing. You begin to serve. You begin to make a difference. You begin to ask God to give you gifts so you can be involved in the kingdom, so you can help the leader to do something for the kingdom. Are y'all hearing me? These folks went to another level, a deeper level with Moses, their leader. God gave Moses 70 elders to help serve the kingdom. They followed Moses up a little higher. Can I shout it this morning? There are those who want more. There are those in this house who want to go to another level. If that's you, you missed a good time to shout. There are people who want more. And more for what? Why would God give you a greater anointing if you're not even going to do anything with the last anointing? Are you seeing what I'm saying? This is progressive, gradual progression in the Lord. And we're moving up, driven to go further, to advance the kingdom by getting closer to the King. If you want to be anointed, you got to get close to the King. The glory, where the glory is. This group is set apart and anointed to serve on another level of anointing. And on this level, they refuse to allow anything to distract them or detour them or discourage or disadvantage them from going further. Very committed, very dedicated, the 70 elders. They were willing to go up higher, to get in closer. And because they did, how many know there's a greater anointing, there's a greater blessing, and greater result. Hey, as you move along, how many knows it gets sweeter and sweeter and better and better? I said, serving Jesus gets better and better as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. The anointing comes to them in the heart of the battle, in the heat of the battle, and they're willing to go higher because they do. They become a greater support to the kingdom and its ministry. And Moses had the 70. David had the mighty men. Elijah had Elisha. Jonathan had his armor bearer. Jesus had the 12. And Paul had Timothy and Silas and Barnabas and Titus. And the church has you. Come on, you are the church, the priesthood of the believer. And for too long, the church come to church on Sunday and have a performance watching some pastor leader and then think that they pay him or her to do the work. How many know God called all of us? He gifted all of us. He anointed all of us to do the work of the Lord. This is not a vocation. It's a calling. And our philosophy of ministry, Melissa and I at Oak Grove, is Ephesians 4:11-12. God gave gifts from Jesus to the church. He gave gifts to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they are to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's the Bible. I said, that's the Bible. The purpose of the church is to get God called, God leaders, servants, to train and teach so that you can go and win and disciple and make disciples. It's not hard. It's certainly not to come in here and sit and sour and soak. We're here to serve, connect, grow, serve and go. You connect to God in the anointing. Then you grow through leadership, and hopefully you got good teaching and good leadership, and then you get connected. Hey, Love Our City Month is coming. Go over to the serve table, put your John Henry on there, your John Hancock. Put it on there and say, I'll do something. What can I do, Pastor? What can I do? You can do something. I love the story of a lady who taught Sunday school when I first got here, Sister Gaddis. She had a twin sister. Her and her sister were 93 years old. She was ordained minister for years. Sister Gaddis, and her sister twin was in Kansas. And she visited Sister Gaddis on her 93rd birthday and told me this story. Said, Pastor Ron, I was in Kansas and my pastor asked me to teach the junior boys Sunday school class because the teacher quit. And I said, well, Pastor, I guess I will. You got nobody else, you know. So she went in Sunday morning, and the little boy pulled her skirt and said, ma'am, are you our teacher? She said, yes, son, I am. She said, well, I guess somebody's better than nobody. Can I tell you? I thought maybe heaven was bankrupt too when God called me. Do you mean, Lord, there's nobody willing to serve you? Do you mean that heaven is that desperate to call a Ronnie Moran from Louisiana? I don't have anything to offer you. I barely got saved. I've never read the Bible before. But if you trust me, I'll trust you. If you are in me and my word is in you, you'll be anointed. It's not because of me, it's because of him. And I believe he'll do the same for you. They're willing to go up higher to get involved in the process. And those who climb higher have a different perspective up there. The anointing for them empowers them to move into the work of God. You see things from another level. I said, you see things from another level. It's the maturation process. It ought to be organic. It ought to be naturally supernatural. So Holy Spirit is taking you on a journey. Moses, the word of God just now said, God said, I'm testing you. I'm testing you. I would like to talk to you. I'd like to teach you. I'd like to lead you. But you're walking away from me. You're not walking into me. I'm submitting to you today, first and second level dimensions. If you'll go into him, how many know you'll walk away blessed? You'll have way more. He will invest in you. He will send people to help you. He will bless you on this next level. I do want to tell you, though, you will face a new devil. To the very extent that you give to God, the enemy will be upset with you. Oh, yeah, there'll be a target on your head. You'll pay a price. We couldn't hardly find a deacon at church for a long time because the enemy would attack our deacons and their families. They wouldn't even let their name run. I said, how many know the benefits far outweigh the grind? I said, the glory outweighs the grind. Yes, there's a price to pay. Of course there is. You don't think the devil's going to lay down and play dead while we build the kingdom. There's a price to pay. And we should pray the price. I said, we should pray the price. Someone has to pay the price for that next level anointing. Actually, pray the price. Say, well, Pastor, what's the benefit to move along? Those followers were able to see, experience a portion of God that had never been encountered before. They sat at God's footstool, these 70 elders. It's awkward terminology, Exodus 24. And they ate with God. They ate with God. And this is the way I probably see it. Nobody has seen God and lived. Moses said that, right? Even John said that. No man has seen God and lived. Can't see God. He's spirit. They that worship God worship in spirit and truth. So I imagine these 70 elders saw the footstool of God. How many know when you come into the glory of God, in the presence of God, you probably don't stand with arrogance. You lay prostrate in humility. They saw God's feet. They saw God's feet. They saw God's footstool. You read it. Go back and look at it. It's an amazing thing. They saw God's feet. Remember when Moses, in chapter 33 of Exodus, was on the mountain and he said, show me your glory. And God said, you can't see my glory and you can't see my face and live, but I'll show you my backside. I'll show you. I'll come by. The goodness of God came. How many like the goodness of God to come by today? Come on, how many really want to get into another level with God, a new dimension where you see something you never saw, where you did something you never did? New level means you got to have a new level of unction to get there. And prostrate on the ground, they saw the glory of God, and then they ate with God to make covenant, the people of God, on the mountain of God. They experienced something that the people who were far off never would have experienced. How many would like to experience more of God this morning? We know John says no man shall see God. And Exodus 33, I wish I could preach for a little while here. These 70 got closer and yet still far away. They were still far away. Exodus 24:1 says they worship from a distance. They were closer than they were, but they were still far away. And yet they experienced that. How many know there's levels of anointing in God? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is not done. Hey, you haven't reached the pinnacle of your experience with Almighty God. You may feel like you're anointed. You may feel like you have all that you need. I mean, no, there's more of God. And if you stop and settle, you're going to miss out. I'm just telling you, you're going to miss out. They saw something of God, and we get a clue in verse 10 in reference to God's feet. My take is that they got close enough laying on the ground, perhaps saw his feet and the pavement below. It's a theophany, a Shekinah glory of God is what they saw. And my friend, that is a benefit of going deeper to a new level, a deeper demonstration of who he is. Are you hungry to go to another dimension of God's glory? Gotta climb higher. Never become satisfied with your relationship. To climb into this service anointing, you must learn to descend into greatness. You don't come into this second level anointing with arrogance and pride. You can come in with confidence and humility, but arrogance and pride and flesh have to be out that way. And so you must learn to descend into greatness. And then there is the third dimension. Chrissy, you can come back while I finish this. I'll let y'all go at a decent time. It's found in Exodus 24:15, and this is what I call the saturation anointing. There's salvation anointing. There is the servant anointing. This is the saturation anointing. These are the passionate pursuers going after God. Not many are willing to get to this level. But if you do, what you encounter is breathtaking, overwhelming, refreshing in the presence of the Lord, renewal, revival, actually in the glory cloud. This is where God is, and he is waiting for you there. He anoints you in this place. He equips you in this place. And he'll tell those who have not experienced him at all, you can tell them what you experience. If you'll get to that level, Moses was in the glory cloud, the kabod, the K-A-B-O-D, the glory of God, the weighty presence of God. So weighty, these 70 elders were on the ground. That's what I think. What was it about this place in God that Moses desired to go there? 18th verse. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and was there 40 days and 40 nights. Wow. Wow. He wanted to be with the Lord. He wanted to be with the one who was with him. Moses basically wanted to reciprocate the love. I mean, there's a relationship going on between you and God. And God's doing all the unilateral stuff. He loves you. But how many know it'd be awesome to have a real relationship, one that reciprocates? I know you love me, Lord, but I want to tell you right now, I love you. How many love the Lord this morning? Go ahead, lift your hands. Just say, Lord, I love you this morning. You're not the only one loving me. I love you too this morning, God. We need God to call leaders and people who are not elected, but anointed. You can elect an idiot, but you need an anointed leader. Elected is positional. Anointed is personal. The anointing will take away fear, bring joy and confidence, give a sincere care for God's people and humility to lead others like he did Moses. Jesus said of Moses, he was the most humble man on the earth. You walk into this cloud and things are different. How many know things are different in the presence of the Lord? You breathe different. Like spiritual CPR. Hey, if you're weary and tired, faint of heart, can't catch a breath, you get into the presence of God, how many know the Lord will breathe on you and give you an extra breath and go after his anointing and pass it on to your kids. Walk in this cloud and you see things different. You get holy smoke in your eyes. Walking in the fog, you get holy smoke in your eyes. Can't see, Pastor, I can't see. That's where you need to be. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not about what you see, it's about what he wants you to see. And sometimes he'll get you in that glorious place where you can't see. So you don't reason everything out, try to figure everything out. God has a plan, an eternal perspective for you. And you start talking different and walking different. And you walk by faith and not by sight, and certainly not by fear. And you walk in this glory cloud of anointing, and you'll have a different posture. You won't be arrogant, proud. You'll be contrite and humble, broken before the Lord. That's the glory, the position of glory. No longer concerned about impressing Pharaohs, but at delivering people. God wants us to be anointed to deliver people. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You stay low to the ground. Stay prayerful. Stay humble. Even Jesus said Moses was humble. Walk in this cloud and everybody will know that you have the glow. When Moses came off the mountain, man, had to put a veil over. They couldn't even handle. The man of God had such a glow, such an anointing. Moses, what's the matter? I've been in the presence of the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Who are you? Are you Moses in the presence of the Lord? Are you Jonah in the belly of a whale? Which way are you running? Do you smell like smoke? I hope it's appropriate smoke. They will know you have been in the presence of the Lord.